hard conversations don't usually blow up because of the issue itself. They really blow up because of the moves we make in the moment. You've been there, you bring up money or intimacy or family dynamics, and suddenly you're in the middle of a fight you didn't want, wondering how it went sideways so fast. The good news, you don't need more guts or more clever comebacks. You need a better playbook. So today, I'll teach you the 5 moves that keep defensiveness low and collaboration high. You'll learn the exact questions to ask, what to do when your partner shuts down or someone else, and how to leave the conversation feeling connected instead of defeated. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Relationships Made Easy podcast, where I give you the exact steps to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships, whether it's with your partner, your family, your friends, or most importantly, yourself. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, psychologist, best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and the bossy Jewish mom you didn't know you needed. Each week, you'll get no-nonsense, research-backed strategies served with humor and love, so you can stop second-guessing yourself and start having the relationships you deserve. You'll always leave knowing exactly what to say and do to shift your relationships for the better. So let's get to it. Welcome back to the podcast. You know who I am. Very happy you're here. And as always, I know you have a lot of ways you could be spending your time. So really happy you're spending it with me. Whew, I've got a lot today and I've got a great free giveaway. Season 8, I'm bringing it with the free giveaways that really go with the episode very specifically to help you take the learning kind of to another level. That's always my goal. We'll talk about that later. So let's introduce the topic. Let's get going. When most of us think about difficult conversations, I think we picture like raised voices or tears, maybe long silences. You know, the problem isn't that the topic is too hard. The problem is that we keep using the wrong tools. We ask loaded questions, we lead with judgment, or we push when the other person is really trying to pull away. And here's the secret. I mean, there's a lot of secrets, but here's one. Successful, quote unquote, hard talks are less about bravery and more about construction or choreography. When you change your moves, when you swap lecturing for collaborative questions, when you reflect instead of rebut, when you summarize instead of steamroll, you know, you really shift the entire dynamic and the conversation becomes a space where the other person can be more open, less defensive, more likely maybe to name their own reasons for change instead of you deciding why. And when it's their idea, when it comes from them, I will tell you right now, through my itchy nose, sorry, that they are far more likely to follow through. And again, I'm going to give you some of the secrets to this today. So I'm really going to show you today how to prime a conversation before you start. And then we're going to walk step by step through what I call the, you know, like a collaborative loop. And I'm going to pull in the framework. There's a counseling framework called motivational interviewing, which I've talked about before on the pod. And I'm going to, on the pod, don't I sound cool? I'm not that cool. On the podcast. I'm going to talk about that again in a new way. And you, because there's tools that motivational interviewing has that we counselors learn that are incredibly good for this. Open-ended questions, affirmations, reflections, summaries. And we're going to combine those with a set of prompts that are known as Darn C. I promise I'll explain it all, but I just want to tell you what's coming and that get the other person talking about, the darn C is for their desire, their ability, their reason, their need, and their commitment. Okay. Those are the pieces again that we learn all this stuff in counseling school. And I'm going to teach you because this is how we get you to talk to us. Okay. Or how to lead a group that's effective. So there's no reason you shouldn't use the same tools that we're taught. And by the end, you'll have At the end of today, you're going to have everyday examples you can use with your, you know, your partner, your teenager, your parent, or even, you know, your best friend, coworker, whatever. You know, I now have the Workplace Therapy with Dr. Abby Metcalf podcast, where I do a whole separate thing about work, because I was finding that I was trying to give too many examples on this podcast, trying to cover every single type of relationship you could possibly have. So I spun off the second podcast called Workplace Therapy with Dr. Abby Metcalf, which, by the way, is much shorter than this one. It's just like really quick and to the point. You know, if hopefully you like that from me also. And so you might want to check that out for sure. Wherever you download this podcast, you'll find that one. And I don't know why my nose is so itchy today. My mother used to say that means you're going to kiss a fool. Am I aging myself yet again? Okay. All right. Step one. Here we go. Step one. You got to prime the room. Hard conversations. This is 40 years plus experience. And what I use personally, not just professionally, people ask me often like, oh my God, you have such a good relationship with your kids and your friends and your, it's because I practice what I preach. I've learned this over the years, but the reason I teach you is because it works with my clients. So please, I refer to myself a lot in the podcast, but, in my own life, just to give you some, insight, people seem to like it, but really what I'm giving you are tools that work with most people. Not just like what Ab uses, you know, I use it because it comes from the research. All right. So step one is prime the room. And again, hard conversations often fail because they fail before they even begin. How's that? I think they fail before they even begin because we treat them like side notes. You know, you might drop, you know, by the way, I'm upset about the dishes at 10 p.m. when everybody's exhausted, right? Or you're blurting out, you know, we need to talk about your drinking as someone's walking out the door. You know, it's no wonder things fall apart. Or you ask someone something or you start a conversation even when you think you're ready, but when, you know, maybe they've had a long day or they're in a bad mood or they don't feel well or, you know, or you don't feel well. There's a million things going on often. So to prime the room, and again, I've talked about this on other episodes, which I'll link to in the show notes, right? But which you can find at abbymetcalf.com. But when you prime the room, you do a few things. One, you set your intention. And I say it out loud. I think you should say them out loud. My intention is that we both feel heard and clear on next steps, right? My intention is to listen with an open heart, even if I don't agree. Intention statements really shift the energy before the first real word, you know, of what you're talking about is spoken. It's my intention. You know, I need to talk to you about something. And I just want to, you know, remind you or say out loud that it's my intention that you realize how much I love you and how that I'm trying to be closer to you by having this conversation. Do you see that? Like any of those things will get you in. The second thing you want to do, ask permission. You would never schedule a business meeting without asking if the time works. You wouldn't. Do the same at home. Is now a good time for a 10-minute talk about money? You know, are you in a good place? Because I really want to make sure we have a great conversation. Can you speak at 3 o'clock today? Whatever. Ask permission and wait for the answer. I find that I tell people to ask for permission and they'll say, oh, I did. And it still went bad. And I'll say, well, did they say yes or no? Like, what did they say? And they realize they hadn't they ask, is now a good time to talk? Because I really need to talk about this thing and blah, blah, blah. And they just start going. And then the other person really never said yes or no. Asking creates buy-in instead of an ambush. Okay. It's so good. I'm telling you, it really shifts things. And by the way, yes, I have the separate, you know, Workplace Therapy with Dr. Abby Metcalf podcast, but I got to tell you, everything I'm giving you right now would work in a workplace conversation, obviously. All right. The other thing I like to do when I'm doing this is check readiness with a 1 to 6 scale. You guys know I like a 1 to 6 scale because people don't do 1 to 5 or 1 to 10 because people otherwise pick the middle number. And when you have a 1 to 6, people have to kind of come down on one side or the other. And 1 to 6 is much, 1 to 10 is a little too big. 1 to 6 is sort of perfect. Just don't use 1 to 5. So they either have to be a 1, 2, 3, right? Which is on the more negative side, or a 4, 5, 6, which is a little bit more on the more quote unquote positive side. So you get a better sense. So ask them on a scale of from 1 to 6, how ready are you to talk about this right now? Right? With 6, it means really ready. Can't wait to have the conversation. 1 is I couldn't be further from this. I need a good night's sleep first. I want to hear. If your partner or the other person says 2, don't strong arm them. Get it. You'd rather wait for a 5 than start at a 2 and have it tank. And again, when you do this, it also means that the other person, I'm going to talk about partner a lot here, like just to make it easier, but this could be, again, a difficult conversation with your mom or your kid or whoever. But when you do this, it also makes them more responsible, because if they tell you a 5 and then later they're like, well, I didn't want to talk about that. I was really tired. And you're like, hey, you told me you were out of 5. I asked, you know, you can't do that to me. I have to be able to trust that when I ask you how you are, or how you're doing, or if you're ready, that you really are. You're starting to, even if this conversation doesn't go quote unquote as perfectly as you'd like, and it probably won't because it takes practice, over time, you're establishing a way of communicating that over time you'll get better and better at. Okay. And I mean, imagine you want to talk about intimacy, right? Let's say it is your partner. You want to talk about your sex life or intimacy. Instead of starting in bed when the lights are off and you're both drained, I would say something over morning coffee. Hey, is there a good time today or tomorrow where we could talk for 10 minutes about, you know, feeling closer physically, right? That's priming the room. Do you see that? And they might go, what do you mean? I don't know. What are you talking about, sex? I'm like, yeah, I want to talk about our how to feel closer physically or emotionally. We don't have to spend hours, but I'd like a good 15 minutes when we both feel fresh. What do you think? When is that good? You know, do you see where we're going here? Okay. It also, by the way, will help you not chicken out, because sometimes we say we want to talk about something and then the time comes and we're like, oh, we're getting along so well. I don't want to rock the boat. And you are going to skip it. And now you can't skip it because you've already made kind of an appointment for it, so to speak. That's step one. Okay. That's step one. Step two is what I call the collaborative kind of loop. And that's using an acronym called OARS plus that darn C acronym. So let me get into that. Once you're in the conversation, this is your engine. Here's the engine of the conversation. It has 5 moves, basically. You're going to ask an open-ended question, okay, shaped by that darn C thing that I was talking about. All right, you're going to reflect back, you're going to affirm, you're going to summarize, and invite choice. You just keep looping within those. Okay, so let's talk about it. So open, and I've talked about this, but we're going to go there. Open-ended questions. These are the heart of collaboration. I also call them collaborative questions, right? You maybe downloaded before a list of collaborative questions from me, which I've had. I've got something even better for you today, though. But anyway, so instead of why don't you ever blah, 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 right? Which instantly spikes defensiveness. You ask questions that draw out the other person's own reasons for change, draws out their desire. Hey, what would you like to be different? Let's say you hate how you spend your weekends, right? It's always boring, or you're the one who always has to plan and whatever. You could ask that, their desire. What would you like to be different about how we spend our weekends, right? What would you like to be different? And then you're going to look at their ability. Remember the darn, D-A-R-N, their ability. What feels doable for you this week, even if it's small, right? The R is the reason. Why would this change, whatever that is, matter most to you? Like, so if we now, like maybe you say, what would you like to do? How would you like to spend time over the weekend? And they say, I'd really like it if we did more things together, right? And that you're like, okay, you know, like to spend more time together. Or, you know, well, what do you think feels doable this week for us to do that, right? No matter how little it is. Maybe they say, oh, I'd like us to plan a Saturday lunch somewhere fun. And then you want to ask them, like, why would that matter a lot to you? What would that really mean to you to do that? Get all that out there. And then that need part, what do you need from me so this doesn't keep happening, can also be something you ask. Like, because they might say, you know, I feel like we always make plans, but then we get busy with the kids or with something else and nothing falls through, right? And then the plans fall through. Or we do it 1 week, but then it doesn't keep going. And so you can ask that, what do you need from me so this doesn't keep happening? And they might say something like, well, I need you to stick to the plan. You're like, yeah, I know, but we have kids, we have other things. What else do you think we could do together to make sure this keeps happening, that we keep to this commitment? Because the commitment is that last part. That's the darn C. What's one step you feel ready to commit to after today, right? What's one thing we could do as a couple after today? What's one thing? And any of those, by the way, if you did just one of those questions, you'd be great. Just one of those, just to get something a little deeper. Think of that darn C as putting the microphone in their hands, right? They're taking more power or control or whatever. It's like if you're, let me give you some examples. Let's say you're talking about money. So instead of saying you're spending too much, try what would feel fair to you and how we handle savings this month? Something like that, right? As a parent, instead of maybe, you know, you're arguing, I just had this the other day with a couple, one of them was saying to the other one, you know, you're too strict with our teenager, you know, with their kid, you're too strict with him. And instead, I was encouraging her to ask the husband, what do you hope happens if we set that curfew? What are you looking for by setting that curfew, right? Maybe you're complaining about chores in the house. That comes up a lot, right? Instead of, you know, you never clean the kitchen, you could say, what's one small task you'd be open to taking off my plate this week, right? What's one small thing you'd be open to, or not even taking off my plate, open to taking on this week, right? Like something like that. Okay. So all those are open-ended questions. They're all open-ended. Can you tell me more about that? What else would you like to see? Do you see? It's nothing that can be answered with yes, no, good, or fine, or basically open-ended questions. They are meant to instigate dialogue. They are meant to instigate a conversation between the two of you instead of just like a yes or no back and forth, right? Where you feel like you're interrogating the other person. So those are open-ended questions. You want to use a lot of them. So don't make statements, ask questions. Remember, always go back to don't sack your relationships, SAC. Don't offer suggestions, give advice, or criticize. And what's left are these questions. Okay. Now, once they answer, it's really great to reflect it back. That's the reflection, right? The reflection really shows that you're listening and it builds clarity, which is good. So like a simple reflection might be, they might say something and you might say, might be like, they might go, you know, well, we always have so much planned all weekend. There's always so much going on. And I feel like I never get a chance to just be quiet, to just be still. And so a simple reflection from, you know, so they say that to you, you might say to them, oh, you want more quiet time. Because then they can, you know, the person might go, yeah, that's exactly what I want. I want more quiet time. Or they might go, well, I don't know about quiet time. I guess I'm just saying I'd like things not to be quite so scheduled. And then you can reflect back again. Okay. So what does that mean to you? Like, so you want more loose time that we could do, that we can be more spontaneous? Because maybe that's what they're asking for, that things are just a little more spontaneous. They might want to stay just as busy all weekend, just not on a schedule, right? And so then you can reflect that back. So you'd like more room for spontaneity in our weekend schedule. And they might go, yes, that's it. See, do you see how different that is? If you thought somebody just wanted more quiet and to not spend any time with you versus they actually were looking for more spontaneity. And unless you reflect back, sometimes the other person doesn't even know. They don't realize that what they're saying they want out loud sounds like something else. So getting clear together, I'm getting that clarity together is so good. Sometimes you might have a more complex reflection, you know. You might say, well, it sounds like you're torn. You want more intimacy, but you're afraid we'll just slide back into old patterns or something, right? Let's say your partner says, I'm exhausted after work and don't want to talk about bills then. Okay, something like that. You want to just reflect back, you know, okay, you're wiped out by the end of the day and you don't want financial talks to feel like another burden, like another thing you have to do at the end of the day. And trust me, they're going to be like, yes. And they're going to feel closer to you. They're going to feel like you understand them. They're going to feel like, you know, and now you might be saying to yourself, well, yeah, then they tell me on the weekends that they don't want to have the talk at all because it's their time off, right? So again, you can ask an open-ended question. You can ask. So, okay. So after work doesn't feel good, when would be some options for times that would make sense to have, you know, a financial, to sit down and talk about our budget? What would be your optimal time? What would be your perfect setting for that? But don't say, well, you know, but then so you don't want to do it after work. And now you tell me whenever I try on the weekend that you don't want to talk about it. So when's a perfect time? You know, don't do that. That's complaining. That is criticizing. Ask them, have them say it. Often someone will still do the weekend, even if they've said before they don't want to, because they now feel like they're the ones scheduling it and they're in control. It just makes a difference where people are bought into the process. Okay. And then affirmations. Affirmations really reduce defensiveness because they highlight, why do they reduce? We know it from the research, they reduce defensiveness. They really highlight strengths. They highlight effort, you know. You might even say to your partner or whoever, I really appreciate you staying with this, even though it's hard. You know, I see that you've been trying to show up differently, and I noticed that. If you're talking about sex or intimacy, you might say, I really appreciate that you're willing to talk about this at all. I know it's uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? Just an affirmation, just a thank you. I know you're, the other day I said, I had a client talking about something that was really shameful for him. And I said, I just said to him, I said, you know, nothing you've told me changes the fact that I know what a good man you are. And I want you to know that. And his eyes got really teary. This is not a teary guy. And, you know, you can see how much that affirmation, and it has to be real and sincere. Don't say anything you don't mean. I meant it 1,000%. So it was easy. If anything, I felt like, and I said that to him, I said, if anything, I feel like I have more respect for you now that I can understand what you've been battling and how you've been feeling about this. It was a fight he had with his partner. You know, now I feel, it feels, I feel like I know you better and can understand you better, which means a lot. I appreciate your honesty. You know, that kind of thing. So affirmation's a wonderful thing, but again, has to be sincere. Do not make something up. And then summaries really are like picking up all the little threads, and they very much help you keep momentum. And you know, the summary, you know, what I heard you say is, right, so far I'm hearing that you want more predictability and fewer last minute changes. Did I get that right? You know, that kind of thing, right? After maybe there's a back and forth about chores, you might say, I'm hearing that you don't mind cooking, but you really hate doing the dishes. You feel better if we swap cooking for cleaning 3 nights a week. Is that what you're saying? I'm making this up, right? Do you see what I mean? And you really want to invite choice. I want to say this really strongly. So invite them taking power, having empowerment in the conversation. Given what we just said, what feels like the next best step to you? Maybe again, you've just talked about intimacy or sex. This just comes up a lot with couples I work with. So given what we've said, what feels like a first step we could try this week, right? That's really, all this is the collaborative loop. You're asking these open-ended questions. You're reflecting back what you hear. You're summarizing what you hear, which is a little different. You're affirming, you're giving them affirmations, you invite them in, and you repeat. And you don't necessarily do things in that order. You might do it like, you might do an affirmation first. Listen, I know what a good man I married. I know you're a good man, and I really appreciate how much you've been showing up. And I want you to know that. So my, and you might throw in your intention now. You know, my intention is that you know how much I believe that as we talk about X. You know, I know in the past it's been a fiery conversation for us, and I don't want today to be that. I want you to feel loved. I want you to feel respected. I want you to remember to know how happy I am that we're in a relationship, whatever, right? Do you see that? You're like putting those all together. So don't think of it. Sometimes, and you can even choose one or two of these. You don't need all of it, you know, but you might just ask a bunch of open-ended questions and you might summarize a little, you might affirm, right? But it's really nice to mix them up a little bit as you're talking. When I was a newer counselor and learning all this, I had a little, the ORs, open-ended questions, affirmations, reflective listening, summarizing, ORs. I had it on my desk, like ORs. I just wrote the words that I had on my desk. So I'd remember like a little sticky up on my, you know, up on my bulletin board. So I'd remember to jump between all of them. Okay. Yeah. And just keep doing that. If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. The third step I want to talk about is repairing on the fly. Because I want to be clear, even with the best preparation, hard conversations will absolutely wobble. Your partner might cut you off mid-sentence. They might go quiet. They might roll their eyes and mutter, you know, this again. That's when most of us double down. We raise our voices, we re-explain, we keep hammering our point, right? No, but that's exactly the moment when collaboration dies. So instead, I want you to think of these moments as yellow lights, not red lights. Let's say that again. I want you to think of them as yellow lights, like a warning, not, you know, like, hey, things are about to go off the rails, right? It's about to stop. It's not a red light. It means pause. Slow down. It means recalibrate. If your partner argues, you might say something like, I hear how strongly you feel. Can I restate what I'm hearing before we go further? And that reflection usually lowers the temperature. If they interrupt again, try, you know, I really want to hear that. Can I finish this thought? Then I'm all yours. Can you hold that? Don't go into, you know, you keep interrupting me. It's pissing me off. You know, again, this is for you also. It's both of you, right? So it's really validating their urgency, but you're still keeping to a structure. If they minimize, you know, it's not a big deal. Don't argue about whether it's a big deal. Don't argue with any minimization and get curious. Get curious instead. Okay, so I'm hearing you say, you're summarizing and reflecting. Part of you feels like this is not a big deal. What would make it a big deal for you? Right? And let's say they get quiet. That happens, right? Where the other person just starts to stonewall or get quiet. You don't panic. Don't fill the space. Don't chatter. Maybe offer a choice then. Hey, do we need a 2-minute break or should we pick this up tonight? You know, like, or at a later date? All of those things I just said are about repair. It's not about getting back on your script. It's about keeping connection alive so the conversation stays open. Like, really think of it like steering a car, like a car in bad weather, in the rain. You're making sort of constant micro adjustments to stay in your lane. That's how you're doing it. I'm going to have a sip of water. Hold on. Does that make sense? But what I find is that people start these conversations and then the other person pushes back in some way or says something inappropriate or goes back to old behavior. And you immediately give up. You're like, oh, that's it. Done. You know, again, it's like a big red light. I need you to stop that. I need you to stay in the collaboration, the back and forth. Again, remember, what do I say a lot? You're like, you say a lot of things, Abby, a lot. I say you have to connect to correct. You have to be connected to have correcting kinds of conversations. And all of what I laid out here is about connecting so that you can do that. You just, I can't say it enough. If you're having these conversations to be righteously right or mad, it's not going to work. If you're having them to put the other person down, not going to work. I mean, you know, when you're just angry, this is not, what are you looking for? If you're looking for connection, I'm here to help. If you're not, if you're just looking to like get off on your anger, I'm not here. I'm not here for you. I'm sorry. It's not helpful. It's not good for you. It is not good for anyone. And it is creating more damage in the relationship and creating, it's breaking down trust even more. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who say, well, I'm just really afraid of my partner's anger. They are so afraid of your anger that they have stopped trying. And that's a very dangerous place to be. So I need you to hold it together. And maybe you're afraid of their anger, but same thing. I need you to hold it together and not be afraid. All right. Step 4 is, you know, you kind of have to land the plane, right? And so I'm going to talk about boundaries. Step 4 is all about boundaries. Because this is another trap. We think a hard conversation has to resolve everything in one sitting. You've been watching too many sitcoms, I'll tell you, because they all wrap up neatly in a bow in a half hour. That's not how this is. So we, you know, we circle and circle. We're like chasing closure and we end up really more exhausted than when we started. And this is where, you know, you really need boundaries because you need to land the plane. You need to land the conversation. And, you know, I've talked before about my kind of brave method. That's your guide. You know, you state your boundary, maybe restate it once, but without justification. And then you follow through with the action. And remember, the action is not a punishment. It's not a consequence. It's structure. It says, you know, our connection matters too much to keep spiraling, right? So let's say you're arguing about your in-laws and your voices are starting to rise. You're allowed to say, hey, I won't keep talking if we're yelling. If that happens, I'll pause and we can try again later. And if the yelling continues, I would even say, I'm going to give this to you to repeat it. I've gotten a lot of pushback from people. So maybe say, you could maybe say once, hey, really no yelling, calmly without over-explaining. But then you have to follow through. You know, leave the room. End the conversation respectfully if it continues. Don't keep going. I just find that people will stay in a conversation well past where it should be. Everyone's upset. They haven't kept any boundaries. People are calling each other names or something else. That's a whole other thing, but it's not good. Boundaries aren't walls. They're guide rails. They stop you both from driving off the cliff. Boundaries are meant to keep people in, not out. They prevent one person from carrying the emotional labor of holding the conversation together, right? Well, you know, while the other one's escalating, you can't have that. So you need to have some boundaries or some rules within this talk that you've been very clear on about how it's going to go. Or again, if they stonewall or something else, you can have a boundary like, hey, I asked you if you were ready to talk today about this. You told me it was at a 5. Here we are. And now you've shut down. So I'm not going to continue. We're going to just stop right now unless you give me some feedback here that you can continue. And if they stay shut down, say, all right, let's just end for now. And, you know, we'll come back to, we'll need to come back to this. And just understand that it's a process. There's iterations of this conversation. All right. Step 5 is you want to debrief, but with something I call the collaboration meter. I'm just calling it today because, you know, I like to come up with cute names. Because the conversation doesn't end when the words stop. If you want lasting progress, you want to do a quick debrief. This is where, to me, the learning really locks in. So after things settle, and I'd like you to ask each other a few questions, again, using the 1 to 6 scale. Remember, no middle option. You want clarity. So you want to ask something like, you can ask one or all of these. How safe did this conversation feel to you? Scale 1 to 6. That's a really good, if they say 1, you know, if 6 is really safe and 1 is not at all, then that's good to know that whatever came out of that, you don't want to do. If they say they were very unsafe for the whole conversation, but you came up with some like action plan, forget it. They're just going to throw it in your face later. You made me do it. You told me I had to. I would just, and so I like to ask this question during the conversation. Hey, let's just check in. How safe is this conversation feeling to you? How comfortable are you right now? How open do you feel right now? Whatever you want to say. It's such a great thing to check in during. I can't even tell you, but for sure at the end. If the conversation feels like, you know, when it's at least safe, you know, if that question can be answered that, you know, I felt pretty safe. Then you want to ask something like, how clear are we on what happens next? I find that a lot of people think they have had great conversations and then they don't know what to do next. So you need to have something. If something's going to change, whatever that is, oh, we're going to be more mindful now and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to check in over every morning. I'm hearing that we're going to check in every morning now and we have coffee and say 2 things we're grateful for about each other and I don't know what else so that we can get more connected. I don't, you know, I'm making stuff up here, people, but you get the idea. And then the third, another really good question is, how balanced did the talking feel between us? That's another one I really like. How balanced did that feel between us, right? Again, asking each other can be really good. You'd be amazed how many, where one person says, oh, I think it was super balanced. I'd give it a 6. And the other person gives it like a 1 or 2. Really important. Okay. It doesn't mean that anyone is right that it was that way. It's just how they feel. So don't rebut, right? Don't do that. Ask some questions. Wow. Tell me more about that. You know, I felt like it was really even, obviously, because I said 6 or 5. Talk to me about how we could do that differently in our next conversation so you feel like you're doing more of the talking. Or maybe they thought you didn't do enough talking, so that I'm doing more of the talking, whatever. You know, have a conversation about it. So, and I want you to see there's nothing that's a failure because it's all information. Like if one of you says, I'd give clarity, I feel like I'm a 2 on the clarity scale now, you know, again, not a failure. It's like an instruction manual. It tells you exactly where to focus next time. Maybe you need more summaries. Maybe you need to check understanding more often, right? So maybe after like something like a money talk, your partner says something like, hey, it felt safe, like maybe a 5, but I don't feel like it was clear, maybe a 2 or 3. I'm still not sure what we actually decided. Okay, do you see that? That is gold. That is gold information. It means next time you slow down. You slow down at the end and you maybe say something like, okay, let's each say in one sentence what we think we agreed to, right? That, see how that works? And that's this my collaboration meter. It's just what I'm calling it. Give me a break, okay? It really turns a scary, maybe what could be a scary conversation into a skill building session. I'm telling you, over time, you'll notice that the scores, they start creeping higher. Not because you're magically conflict free, but because you're practicing better moves. People feel more heard. They feel it's more collaborative. They feel like you're working together. So even you'd be amazed, even though the outcomes might be very similar with not being sure what's next, you feel like you're more of a team though in the journey, which is huge. So how do I want to wrap up, of course. So I want to say this. Hard conversations don't have to feel like landmines. When you prime the room, when you do this like collaborative loop through collaborative questions, through repairing on the fly, through boundaries, you know, when you debrief with the collaboration meter, you know, you really turn any kind of like dread into real dialogue. Okay. You're shifting how you're thinking. I'm telling you, I have clients who are like, wow, we had a conversation the other day that went so well. These are things we used to dread. I hate that word dread. I hear it a lot. And you know, the best part is you don't have to be perfect. Every time you use the tools, you're showing your partner, or again, whoever you're talking to, that connection comes before correction, right? You have to connect to correct, that the relationship matters more than being right. And that's really what creates lasting change right there. So I put together a little thing for you guys, and I'm calling it the Collaborative Conversation Pocket Guide. How do you like that? I'm trying to remember what I called it, because you know I always have a witty name. The Collaborative Conversation Pocket Guide, okay? So it's a one page with, I've got like 20 of these like darn C collaborative questions on there, right? Because I know that can sound really like darn C. Like I threw a lot of, you know, acronyms at you and a lot of stuff today, I know. So I feel like if you downloaded this, it would all sink in really, really well. So I think I have like 20 darn, kind of following that darn C method, collaborative questions on there. I have an ORS cheat sheet, the open-ended affirmation, reflective listening, and summarizing. I have the 1 to 6 readiness and collaboration rulers. I also have just my brave boundary method on there. I have it all on there. So it's all in kind of one place for you. Because I'm hoping, you know, as you know, you can always come back to the website and there's always a blog for corresponding to every episode. And so you can always find everything there that you might need if you don't want to, you know, keep coming back, that kind of thing. So I do understand. And I do have I do have all of my giveaways for this week, which I'm just going to sign off first. And then not my giveaways, sorry, my One Love Collective. I have everything for you guys also, a bunch of things, which you can buy for $10, which if you're not part of the One Love Collective. And so let me just sign off. If you don't want to listen to any of that anymore, I love you and you don't have to listen anymore. And I hope you have an amazing week. But if you do want to listen and you want to hear what's in there, if this is something you feel like I need to work on this, Abby, I need to get better at this, I need to become good at this, then you definitely want to keep listening. Okay, so let me get to it. All right, so what do we got? I have my little list here, sorry. So if you are part of the One Love Collective, as you know, it's $8 a month. We're on Substack, and you get all of the podcasts ad-free. You get 2 live Q&As with me every month. You get, we do lots of stuff in the community also with each other. It's a really beautiful community. I'm very proud of it. People just help each other. We have Wednesday. We share wins and all kinds of stuff. It's a very active community online. Plus you get the Therapy to Go bundle that goes with every episode where you can go deeper on whatever you've learned. But if you don't want to pay $8 a month, you could pay $10 per bundle for anything that jumps out at you, like today. Maybe today's episode, you were like, oh my God, that's all I need help with. So if you get the bundle, you get what I mentioned, the free collaborative conversation pocket guide. You get that included, so you don't have to download it separately. But then you also get, I'm just reading, I have a collaboration meter journal page. So to get through the collaboration meter, a journaling page about it, I have a collaborative conversation scripts. There's a guided visualization that goes along with this to help you, you know, you can listen to my melodic voice, which people seem to like, kind of helping you through these kind of difficult conversations so you can keep yourself calm. There's also a separate list of journaling prompts just to help you get deeper on why this is hard. There's repair on the fly responses you can have. So, you know, I gave you a few examples. I give you a ton more. And then there's the readiness ruler mini worksheet. So it's like to make sure you're ready to have the conversation. It's a little mini worksheet to help you with that. So all of that is in the Therapy to Go bundle. If you're part of the One Love Collective, paying $8 a month, you get it included with and something like that with every single episode. If you're not, you can buy it though separate for $10 if you don't want to make the ongoing commitment to be part of the community on Substack. I hope you follow me over there anyway. We have all kinds of good stuff that's free to everybody on there. So, and that's it. All right. So thank you so much for listening as always. Really appreciate you being here with me. And we will talk real soon. Thank you for spending time with me today. If you're loving what you're learning here, come join my One Love Collective. It's my private community where we take these conversations even deeper. You'll get a ton of bonus content, live Q&As with me, guided visualizations, journaling prompts, scripts, and an incredible community of like-minded people ready to support you as you create more ease and joy in all your relationships. It's all waiting for you at abbymetcalf.com or right on Substack. I'll see you next week.